It is coming up on time for our talkback segments, and we are just beginning to get out and deal with our schools, and we're going to get more and more as we go forward. But for today, we have one report, which is from our friends at Little Falls Middle School. Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. And as I mentioned, our lone report this morning comes from Chad Caddett's class at Little Falls Middle School.
This is Kylie and Cora reporting from Little Falls Middle School. This is our phenology report for the week of September 7th.
One of the first noticeable signs of fall here are the bright red leaves on the sumac shrubs.
There were large groups of nighthawks passing through our area before sundown early last week.
We have also seen a surge in the number of rose-breasted grosbeaks at our feeders.
We have only seen female or juvenile hummingbirds in the past week, typically fighting with hornets over the feeders.
Butter and eggs are blooming in our roadsides and fields.
We saw a chipping sparrow feeding a juvenile under a bird feeder, and it seemed like it was late in the year before them to still need to be fed.
Another early sign of fall was a woolly bear caterpillar found by a classmate.
The bald-faced hornets and yellow jackets were busy this weekend feeding on pop, lemonade, and other sweet treats that were spilled in the Little Falls craft fair.
Green darners and meadowhawks are still common sights here, and if you go out in the morning, you can get a close-up look at them as they are too cold to fly away.
We are still seeing white-tailed bucks with velvet on their antlers.
Classmates have found tiger salamanders and prairie skinks in this week among with young snapping turtles emerging from their nests.
Another group that appears to be migrating through are the flickers, as they have started to show up in larger numbers lately.
One alarming report came from a student who noticed an increase in the amount of dead fish she was seeing in the Mississippi River near her home.
That is our report for this week. Until next week, keep exploring, keep discovering, and keep connecting with the great outdoors.
Thanks, kids. What a great report, you guys. That's Kylie and Cora from Little Falls Middle School. And lots of good notes in there about a lot of interesting things. I was especially interested in the white-tailed bucks with velvet. I had a report yesterday from one of the students in Virginia who had also seen a young buck with velvet still on his antlers. Green darners and meadowhawks. I was out on Saturday, and it was just a little bit cool. This was before I came to the Riverfest, but there were not that many dragonflies out that day, and Sunday the same could be said. There were not many dragonflies out for where I was, but I would expect to see green darners and meadowhawks this time of year for sure. The meadowhawks, of course, those are the males are going to be the little red guys, and the females will be golden, and there should be a lot of those around. I've had reports and actually seen them as late as November, so don't give up on dragonflies. There'll still be a few more around. Turtles definitely moving, kind of heading back toward their nests and whatnot. And then I don't know about the student who saw a bunch of dead fish on the Mississippi River. That's kind of unfortunate. We hate to hear that. And I think if you go to Instagram, you'll see the pictures. You'll find out that that Chad Caddett's, the teacher in Little Falls, is one of our, I would say, preeminent artists. His drawings of butter and eggs, the little flowers that are blooming right now, and the yellow jackets, he just does a superior job. He's such a good artist. It's fun to look at his drawings. So check those out on Instagram. You won't be disappointed. That's what is it? Little Falls subtext.
Yeah, you can. I was just looking. You can just grab the little search thing and put in Little Falls, and
okay,
you'll see Little Falls phenology.
All right,
pop right up. We also just had a text. Noah from near Britt. He said, our family had a great time at Riverfest. I was fortunate to meet some local celebrities, Roger Radio, Scott Hall, and my own personal hero, John Latimer.
Yeah, Noah and I had a nice conversation. Noah, good morning. Yeah, thank you. That was a great moment.
Sorry I missed you, Noah. Also, on the phenology topic, we had a visit from a somewhat rare animal here in the North Woods, the Franklin's ground squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
Sent a photo.
I'm familiar with the little Franklin's ground squirrel. I have one in my yard, and he's pretty shy. I more often see his little dirt piles than I see him, but every once in a while. So this is a, you might mistake it for a gopher. It's a small, uniformly brown ground squirrel. It doesn't have any stripes. The other ground squirrel that we have around here is called the 13-lined ground squirrel, and for good reason. It has a lot of stripes on its back, 13 apparently. I've never had one still enough to be able to count that far, but at any rate, the Franklin's is a really interesting little ground squirrel, and I'm surprised to hear that there are some in the Britt area, which is a good stretch up the road from here and further north. So I'm pleased to find that out. We also got a email from Tom from Grand Rapids, and Tom wrote, on Saturday, there was a broad-winged hawk sitting on a telephone pole by his barn. He's been around for several weeks helping out with the rabbit situation. When should we expect this useful bird to probably migrate? Well, it should happen pretty soon. Those guys are pretty dependent on rabbits, among other things. They they eat a lot of garter snakes as well. I often see broad-winged hawks carrying off garter snakes. But, yeah, they're definitely good to have in your neighborhood. And if they're taking out the rabbits, more power to them, boy. I could feed a pretty big flock of hawks at my house with all the rabbits I have, and I would be happy to volunteer some of them to be food for the next generation of hawks. That would be fine by me. Yeah, Tom, I would say, you know, before the end of the month is typically when I see my last broad-winged hawks. I don't usually have records of them as late as October.
We just heard from Mary on the Big Marsh. Mary says, good morning, everyone. Wild rose hips are ripe for picking to dry for winter tea. The crab apples are also ready for picking, ready to make jelly, crab apple butter, and fruit leather. Enjoy the autumn season. Fruit leather.
Yeah.
I suppose that's a...
Yeah, it's the old natural... yeah, what is that stuff? I had seen these children's candies that you sort of unrolled that were a
roll-ups,
flat, gelatinous, stiffer than gelatin.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it either. And how do you make
leather,
it?
That's a good definition. I suppose you would roll out, you know, crush the fruit, puree it, whatever,
and then
roll it out. And let it dry, maybe. That would do it. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering, too, is I think it's not dehydrating. We sometimes dehydrate some fruit, but I think it must be different than that. So.
I got a note from Carol Hepikoski over in Eveleth, and she had, I won't say taken me to task, but she had mentioned rose hips. And I have tasted rose hips, and, you know, I found them kind of meh. And not really, you know, sweet or sour, just kind of there. And she said that she did the same, that she used them for tea and for preserves.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that you have to kind of pick and choose, that some roses are better than others, a bit like an apple, you know. Some apples are good for cooking and not so good for eating, and others are good for eating and don't make good cooking apples. So she said with the rose hips, you just have to kind of experiment a little bit and try more. So I have not given up on rose hips. I will try some more rose hips. And if I find some that are good, I'll mark that plant for sure and be back. Mm. You may count on it.